You are the salt of the earth, but if the earth has lost its taste, how shall the saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
I figured he was dressed better than I was, so I'd have him come up and read for us. I feel very blessed because those boys are not like I was as a child, and you would have had to twist my arm and make me say uncle and all kinds of things before I would get up here. And a lot of Sundays, they will actually ask, is there anything I can do today in the service, which is pretty cool. So proud of those guys. Several things going on, a couple things to remind you of. One to introduce you to. We are going to, for the next month, have some concentration on prayer. And we're going to spend today, I thought about calling it a little more than 30 days of prayer or almost 40 days of prayer, but I went with a month of prayer. We're going to start today through November 19th, which is a Wednesday night, concentrating on prayer and asking of you that you will try to pray frequently and daily about different things. We'll send things out from the church office of different things you might focus on. I imagine we'll make a lot of use of Facebook over the coming weeks with things that you can think about with this. But we'd like to concentrate some on prayer. And then that the 19th is a Wednesday night, and Carl will be leading us in a prayer night that Wednesday night in place of our class. And that will wrap up our month of prayer. So some things you might think to pray about. Pray that this thing works better. our church. I hope you'll be praying for our church here in Eugene. We had a little over 150 with us last week. And we would love to see that become more the norm. We'd like to see a lot of folks from our community coming in to see more of what we're about and that we can reach out to our community. There are a lot of people around here that clearly need Jesus in their lives, and I hope that you will be praying about that. We can be praying for our families and friends. I think we tend to focus in on sicknesses and jobs and things like that, but there are a lot of things within our families and our friendships that we can pray about and bring before the Father. I hope you will pray for our nation in a kind and friendly way. Whatever you may think of how things are done and how they're going on, we have elections coming around the corner, and I hope that you will pray that our nation will be a godly one. Our co-workers, some of those it might be easier for you than others, but I hope you will pray for your co-workers and their souls and your relationships with them. And also, we're told in Scripture to pray for our enemies. Now, I hope you don't have a list going of who those people are, but I hope that you will consider a little more how we can pray for those who disagree with us and not just pray that they will learn to agree with us, but pray for them and their livelihood and their families and friends too. So we have that coming up. We also have coming up Orphan Sunday, which I forgot to put a slide in for this week, but Orphan Sunday is coming on November 2nd. There are forms and brochures and more information in the back about that if you'd like to learn more about what Christian Relief Fund does. And also, Cindy Hoffman can tell you all about it. She knows a lot about what they do. But we'll be mentioning that as we get closer. We have a corn maze coming up for our youth group this weekend. If you need more detail on that, talk to the foremans because they know what's going on with that. And they will tell you all about it. But I hope you will find something to get involved in. Roy mentioned that we had our men's fellowship breakfast here yesterday. We had a crowd of about 30, I think, and just had a really good discussion about being transformed from Romans 12, and I realized that that has an awful lot to do with what we're going to talk about today in Matthew chapter 5, being salt and light. If you'd like to open your Bible up to Matthew chapter 5, beginning with what Nathan just read for us, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. I really, really like salt. My family can attest that when we are eating, one of my first statements is usually, pass the salt. And I like to have salt on everything. And my wife occasionally will look at me and say, tasted that yet because it's kind of salty already. And I will say something like, and your point is, let's get some more salt on here. And so I really like salt. And I think we have looked at it in our culture nowadays as something that's about flavor. And if you've had something that's really bland and needs some salt on it, you understand what that is like. If you have had something medical along the way where you've had to cut the salt out, you also understand what that is like and how difficult that makes some of the things you're used to enjoying. Now, something we miss in our context is its preserving nature. And so I looked in Webster's. We can still go according to Webster's nowadays. Now it's online, though, and I went to the Webster online. And it defines salt as a natural white substance, I've got that part covered, that is used especially to flavor or preserve food. So we have flavor and we have preservation. These two things that salt has been used for over the course of history and the course of time. And we probably find different value in each of those. Now, we are in this time of refrigeration where we don't think much about the preservation side of things. We think more about the flavor and what it adds. And so part of what is being said to us here by Jesus is, we add some sort of spice, flavor to our world by what we do. Now, I don't know how that works for you. Some of us maybe add a little too much spice and flavor sometimes to our world. But we need to have some kind of effect on what is going on around us. Now, too many times, I think what we experience is the negative side of that. I've taught my kids since they were small that everything you do affects somebody else in some way. We tend to get in our own little zone, in our own mind, and do our own thing and assume it's just all about me. But everything that we do affects somebody in some way. Now, usually what I'm thinking when I tell them that isn't the negative side. If you do this, well, that's going to have an effect on this guy and on this guy. But what Jesus is telling us here is the positive side of it. That if we are living our lives in a salty kind of way, it's going to be something that people around us notice and miss when it's not there. The other side being preservation, which is we are here to preserve what Jesus has taught. We are here to bring that into our world in a way that they can see and understand and hopefully be changed by. Now, Paul in Colossians says it this way, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains." And maybe this is a good place to start our month of prayer. That we can pray that we have a boldness to proclaim that message. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And isn't it that full of grace and yet seasoned with salt where we begin to struggle a little bit? Because some of us are very good at the brash side of things, which is what we might think of when we think salt. And some of us are very good at the grace side of things, just being understanding and friendly and all of that. It's the mixing of the two is where we start to struggle a little bit. How can we be bold and yet loving? How can we have salt and still have grace? Now, the word in Greek, when it says it's lost its taste, also conveys an idea of becoming foolish. And isn't that who we are if we are disciples that are living lives that are not noticed, that there's nothing unusual about, that there's nothing that people can look at us and see something different than the world around us? Are we not becoming foolish by the very nature of that? Continuing on, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Hide it under a bushel? No. I actually asked Ron to lead that this morning because I thought it conveyed the idea really well of who we're trying to be. We don't get light and then hide it. I was driving back from Corvallis the other day, and we took the back way home because the traffic on 5 was pretty rough. And I realized very quickly that the back way home on an overcast night is really dark. And I started to notice that my headlights are not as bright as they once were. And as I was driving along, I was really appreciating those moments when there was not a car coming the other way that I could shift to brights. And I could see things a little more because I kept seeing deer signs and things, and I thought, I don't want to bring one home tonight. And I looked at what was around me, and I thought, I don't know how much I appreciate light on a daily basis, how much I take it for granted. It's just kind of a given of who we are. And if you've ever been in a spot where it is just dark and you see light, you grow to appreciate it a whole lot more. I was racking my brain, and if I told this story when I was here in June, I apologize. I couldn't remember. When I was a college freshman, I pledged a club there at Harding. It's kind of like a fraternity without the alcohol, I guess. But I pledged this club at Harding, and we had a rough night, which was not as rough as other rough nights would be, I'm sure. But part of rough night was they took the 21 of us who had pledged out to this park on the edge of town, and there was a big bluff that you would go along a trail to get to the top, and that was our destination. Now, the 21 of us, in the dark, in a state that we had not been raised in, with people who had been treating us poorly all week long, we weren't quite sure what to make of this. And so the guy who was there at the base of the trail with us pointed in a direction, and we all looked over there, and we saw at that point a light flash. And what it was there was a guy up at the top of that bluff with a flashlight. And he flashed the light and then turned it off. And the guy at the base of the hill with us said, "That's where you're going." And then he handed a flashlight to one of us. And then he left. And we all stood there for just a minute thinking about our impending death in the woods of Arkansas and wondered how we're going to do this. And so we decided the only way to pull this off going on a trail is going to be a single file line. And guy number 17 in this line of 21 is going to have a whole lot more trust than guy number 2 that's near the flashlight. And you hope this guy with the flashlight has some idea of where he's going, but he follows the trail along and we all follow in behind him. And we all had this new appreciation for the light he was holding and for the light that occasionally flashed to remind us of where we were going to. We are that light in a very dark world. When you look around you day by day, you don't see a lot of light. You see a lot of things that just really remind us of darkness. And what happens if the guy in the front of that line, who I think was there because of his place in the alphabet, what happens if that guy decides, you know, this would be more interesting if we just shut the light off? Our eyes might adjust after a while. We might have some idea of what's going on, but man, it would be frightening. And yet, if you look around Christians in our world today, how many of us just shut the light off? How many of us are not putting a light out there for God to be seen? And Jesus says here that we are the light of the world. Do you know who else he says later in John is the light of the world? He is. In John 8, if you remember back to your readings from earlier in the year, Jesus says he is the light of the world. And so in a lot of ways, we are taking this thing that he has begun and we're trying to carry it on as best as we can. And so he says, we are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Light is a form of energy that makes it possible to see things, the brightness produced by the sun, a fire, a lamp, etc., etc., etc. And you can think of whatever thing you might imagine that would be light in your world, but we are to be that light. This is Dallas, Texas. I would imagine a lot of you have probably never been there. When I was in college, my uncle lived in Fort Worth, which was about 30 miles the other side of Dallas from where we were in Arkansas. And it was closer than Alabama was home. So I would go there on weekends sometimes and visit and take many baskets of laundry and enjoy some home cooking and all of those things. When you got about 30 or 40 miles from Dallas, you're in the middle of nowhere, East Texas, and it's very dark out there, and you start to see a glow on the horizon. And this is what creates that glow. It's the skyline of Dallas, and all those lights are on for who knows what reason, people at work or just it looks cool. But as you approach, that glow gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And I remember the first time driving in, I'd never seen anything quite like that, and I thought, what is the glow that's... And then I realized this is Dallas as I approach. You can't hide Dallas. It's there, and if you're coming in 30 miles from any direction, you know it's there. And then you start to see these giant skyscrapers, and you start to see just how big this thing is. And I-30 that I drove in on took you right through these skyscrapers. And I just was blown away by the size of it all the first time. When Jesus says we're to be a city on a hill, that is something that cannot go unnoticed. And I wonder, when I look around, too many times it seems like Christians are just going unnoticed. Or if we are noticed, we're noticed for all the wrong reasons. And Jesus wants something more of us than that. Jesus wants us to be the city on a hill that people cannot help but see, that people cannot help but be drawn to and want to know a little more about. And in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Are we letting our light shine before others? Not for us, which the Pharisees were pretty good at, I think. Not so everybody could look at us and see how great we are, but so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That light on top of the hill during Pledge Week was something that was directing us towards something. And that's what we do here on earth for God. As we live in such a way that shows a light, we are directing people towards something. Now, I want to show you a little video real quick, and I will warn you of a couple things. We watched this at the men's breakfast yesterday, so sorry, men, that have already seen it. But I was thinking about it all evening, and I thought, this is really a lot of what we're talking about today. We talked about being transformed from Romans 12 yesterday. But I will warn you of one thing that's a little unusual for us. There is about 10 seconds of music at the front at the back of this. We're still an a cappella church. Don't sing along. But I don't want you to think this is a movement towards anything. It's just, it's hard to find video that doesn't have that anymore. So there's a little bit of music at the front at the end, but think of the point that is being made here in the video.
And so for those reasons, I believe the crankbait is the most versatile and fruitful lure you could possibly have. Well, that concludes this week's discussions. I want to thank everybody for coming out today. And I also want to thank our newest member, Andrew, for showing up and joining us today.
Thank you.
Okay, so does anybody have any announcements or any upcoming events or dates we need to know about?
Oh yeah, we got the bake sale coming up on the 23rd, and we use everybody's help for that.
Also, our group potluck is coming up on the 30th, and it's going to be in the main hall. And I will be bringing my mama's famous chili.
That's right. 30th main hall potluck supper.
Also, there's a great fly fishing seminar over in Monroe this weekend. I'm going to be carpooling, so if anybody wants to go, just let me know. Tickets are $5, and the speaker is supposed to be amazing.
That's fantastic. If anybody wants to go with Rick, be sure and get with him after the meeting, all right? Anything else you can think of?
Yeah, I have a question. When is our next fishing trip? And I have a new reel, and I'm ready to try it out.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
You know, going fishing. Okay. What about this Saturday?
Oh, it's supposed to be like really cold that day.
Next Saturday?
That's the day of the bake sale, and we can't miss that.
2 weeks, maybe. Like on a Thursday, I might can take off.
I have classes like all day.
How about this summer?
Fish like swim south for the summer?
I gotta get my dog spayed.
Also, I'm allergic to water.
Helping my neighbor change all of his light bulbs.
A high pollen count day.
My mom had a really bad reaction one time, and I think it runs in the family.
It's my dog's birthday. He's turning 4.
I just can't handle the sun.
Do you even have your license? Do you have your permit? Could you tell me what's the difference? I got this blue card in the mail, and I'm not sure. I think it was a boating license, but I don't have a boat, so I don't know why they sent it to me.
Has anyone here gone fishing ever? So nobody has actually ever gone fishing in a fishing group here. Thanks, guys. It's nice meeting y'all. Good luck.
Oh, hey. We still need to elect a potluck chairman.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I thought that made the example probably, we're not the invitation song yet. I thought that made the example maybe better than I could, that we sometimes have a tendency to know the right answers. We sometimes have a tendency to talk about what it is we're supposed to be doing and have great theological discussions and all of that. But sometimes we forget to just get out there and fish. Sometimes we forget that if we're not out there being the salt and the light in our world, who's going to? Who's going to do it if it's not us? And that means every last one of us. We all have opportunities every day, every week, to be something different than the world around us that everyone else sees. We can be that city on a hill. We can be that salt. We can be that light. And if not, we're just sitting around discussing which lures to use instead of actually getting out there and fishing. This morning, as we close, I hope you will think about this and think of whatever the practical way is that this applies to you. And I could stand up here for the next 10 minutes and make lots of examples of what it might be, but I don't live your life every day. I don't know if it's your workplace and there's something you can do there to make God's light shine a little more than it does now. I don't know if it's the way you are as a neighbor. I don't know if it's the way you are when you are stuck in Walmart or Costco. I don't know if it's your family. I don't know where that place is for you that you need to be a light. But as we talked about this video towards the close yesterday, Ernest Coburn was there visiting with our breakfast. And he said, you know, if we are living this out, that's about the best evangelistic tool you can find. And I know a lot of us are a little threatened by that idea. The idea of how do I talk to somebody about God? And what if they ask a question I don't know the answer to? And what if they react badly? And what if? How about what if we are living in a salt and light in a city on the hill kind of way, and they ask us the questions? Because you can't help but wonder, what's going on there? What's different about these people? That is what we are called to do, and I hope that you will look at your week this week and think, how can I do that better? How can I do that better with my family, with the people around me, with the people I work with my neighbors, with everyone I encounter? How can I be light to them this week? Because if you don't, maybe no one else will either, and they don't get to encounter that light, and they find themselves on that trail, just lost and looking for direction. If there's some way we can help you this week, whether it's you need to follow that light for the first time, or there are things you can do to be more of a city on a hill, and we can pray with you about that. Whatever your needs may be, please come as we stand and sing.